problems at? Let's move over. Do something. I need a different look here. I see the same faces in the same places every week. Find someplace new. There you go. It's okay. Looks like a new church. All right. All right. Well, good. Looks good. Everybody kind of gathered in. I want to remind you all, and you'll hear some on Sunday, that we do have a concert cookout next Thursday at General Slack Park. So it should be some fried chicken and hot dogs and some other foods and some giveaways and some music and just a good time for 2 hours at the park. So if you have family or friends and you want to come, invite them. It is at General Slack Park. So we're going to do that from 5:30 to 7:30 next Thursday night. Carl, let me ask you real quick. Do we have enough people to serve tomorrow night? Do we have enough people to serve tomorrow night with us? Phil and Ashley, you're helping, right? Where are they at? Oh, okay. Oh, Pam, you're helping. Who else is helping? Tara's helping. I just want to make sure I'm not down there by myself. Okay. Barbara's got it. Okay. All right, great. Yeah, y'all all just raise your hand. Y'all be there. All right. I will not forget. All right, great, awesome. All right, so we're going to be looking in the book of Daniel tonight. It is a book that talks a lot about the future events, but also what was going on during that time. I'm going to use the Holman version. If you look up online or whatever, you can use that. This Holman version. We're going to skim. Our key is going to be chapter 4, but I want to bring you up to what's happened so far in chapter 1. The Lord hands Judah over to Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian king, comes through and takes over. God's people were not being God's people. They were not acting accordingly. Some of those minor prophets that we've been reading in our life groups, this is what's happened after. People just didn't listen. And so now they are under the control of the Babylonian king and the Babylonian empire. Huge empire. And Nebuchadnezzar is the king. Nebuchadnezzar has some people, some of the Jews that work in for him and serve him. And you have some guys like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these are going to be key people in these few chapters here that we're going to go through. Chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. He has this dream and he doesn't tell. See, Nebuchadnezzar, he served a lot of gods. And basically, he was a part of that Chaldeans. He had sorcerers, witches, all these people who would want to figure out what dreams were, astrology, all that stuff. And Chaldeans, they worshiped demonic, those kind of things. Chaldean was one of the roughest people in the Old Testament, in my opinion, what they were. The most darkest. They served, they worshiped demons, and they wanted to learn more, and they got into the things that God told his people not to be a part of. They went into that same area that they were supposed to. Nebuchadnezzar has a dream, and he was very stunned with it, and he wants to find out if anybody can interpret the dream. And in this part, he said, he didn't explain. He said, you need to tell me what I dreamed. I'm not going to tell you what I had dreamed, but I want you to tell me what I dreamed, and I want you to explain to me what that dream is. And if you don't, I think I'm going to tear all your limbs off. That's how ruthless Nebuchadnezzar was. And I'm going to make your house into garbage heaps. Well, that's impossible. We don't know, but they come to find out that there was an individual that interpreted, and his name was Daniel. God gave him the gift and spoke to him and gave him the understanding of what the dream was and what the interpretation of the dream was. And so we see some things here about his dream. But Nebuchadnezzar says something about it. I want to, in chapter 2, verse 47, he says, "The king said to Daniel, 'Your God is indeed God of gods, Lord of kings, and a reveler of mysteries, a revealer of mysteries, since you were able to reveal this mystery.'" So Nebuchadnezzar kind of acknowledges God, but it doesn't click. There's an internal switch that doesn't switch for him. But he claims that your God is the God, he's the Lord of kings. He's saying things that are true, but doesn't really truly, I don't think he truly believes that he is all of that. Chapter 3 comes, and Nebuchadnezzar just loves himself. Be careful how much you love yourself. Be careful how much you lift yourself up. Nebuchadnezzar decides they want to build a 90-foot tower, an image of himself. Could you imagine walking around with a 90-foot image of Larry? Or a 90-foot image, a 90-foot image of Jeremy? Now, this is the first time. I don't even know where he is because I looked right there and saw Larry. I still don't know where he is. There he is. Okay, so a 90-foot Jeremy. Oh, my goodness. Nebuchadnezzar says, when you hear all the music and everything, you bow down to my statue and you worship it. Well, people did, but some people didn't. And it was the Jews who didn't. And so we find out that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were put in to a fiery furnace because they would not do it. And so God delivered them from the fiery furnace. And that's a great story. Again, Nebuchadnezzar says, "The Lord God sent his angel and he saved you," and he begins to proclaim God again. But something is not clicking for him. You see, the outward appearance out of his voice and his lungs and his words sounds like he's expressing a knowledge of who God is, like some of us. We talk about God but don't really know God. But what happens is, as we go to chapter 4, now chapter 4 in Daniel is the most oddest chapter you're going to find, even though the later ones are harder to understand. Number 4 is different because Nebuchadnezzar writes chapter 4 himself. He writes it himself. It's the only chapter. Huh. Why would a guy like this be allowed to write? Well, let's see. So we're going to look into chapter 4. That was kind of the preview where we are. Verse 1, King Nebuchadnezzar. He's writing this to those of every people, nation, and language who live in all the earth. May your prosperity increase. He says, "I am pleased to tell you about the miracles and the wonders the Most High God has done for me. How great are his miracles and how mighty his wonders. His kingdom is an eternal kingdom and his dominion is from generation to generation." There's a change in how he is talking. You can't talk like this unless you've been through something. That's why we need to understand when we're giving testimonies about God, we know that when we give testimonies, truth will come out about what God has done. A true testimony lifts up and praises God for what God has done for you as an individual or your family or whatever situation you're in. You cannot help but to praise God. Okay? If you're a believer and you know that God's been a part of it, you will begin to praise God and begin to talk about how great God is. And then how do we know? We see this. In verse 4, he says, "I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at ease at my house." So it's at Nebuchadnezzar. He's saying, "I was at my house, I was chilling out, and I had a dream." Now, I want to stop here for a minute, and I want to give you a forewarning, but some wisdom, I think, that would help you. Every time you dream, don't think that God is speaking to you in the dream. Okay? A lot of people say, "Well, I dreamed I was with this girl. I was dreaming I was that guy. And God made it. And that's the way we're supposed to be." No. Most of our dreams come from our own desires. Let me just tell you this. You will know when God gives you a dream. But not all dreams are from the Lord either. Some dreams are demonic dreams. You're a godly person. You believe in Jesus Christ. He's your Savior. You're trying to live right. All of a sudden, you have this run of dreams that are not godly. They're very sinful. You find yourself in temptation. Listen, that is some spiritual warfare that's going on. There's some things that are happening with Nebuchadnezzar. He has some of these dreams. And they mess with him really hard. And these are the ones that he brings up to, he's going to bring up again. He doesn't quite understand it. And if you have any problems with dreams or whatever, you can talk to me later. And I'll talk to you about that, because I brought that up because maybe somebody here is struggling with trying to figure out. Not that I'm going to tell you what your dreams are, but I can help you through, navigate through some of that. But he had this dream that there was this big tree in the middle of the earth. I'm just going to paraphrase. A big tree and all the limbs on it. The birds was on there and all the animals came under and rested. And everybody ate from the tree, the whole world. The whole world could see the tree. And he had this thing, and all of a sudden, what we see down here in verse 13, he goes, as I was laying in my bed, I saw the visions in my mind and an observer. Now your Bible may say a watcher, or it may say an observer. Basically, remember, Nebuchadnezzar is not this, he's not been a believer very long. He's seen God's work, but he's not a Jew. He doesn't understand the ways of God. He doesn't understand that. So he's using what he knows. So he uses observer, a holy one coming down from heaven. He's explaining it in just natural ways that he can explain it. And he said, he called out loudly, cut down the tree and chop it off its branches and strip off its leaves and scatter its fruit. Let the animals flee from under it and the birds from its branches. But leave the stump with its roots in the ground with a band of iron and of bronze around it and the tender grass of the field. Let it be drenched with dew from the sky and share the plants of the earth with the animals. Let his mind be changed from that of a man, and let him be given the mind of an animal for 7 periods of time. Now, 7 periods of time, most theologians believe that's 7 years, okay? If you believe it's different, it's okay. It's seven periods. I believe it's 7 years. This word is by decree of the observers, the matter is a command from the holy ones. This is so the living will know that the Most High is ruler over the kingdom of men. He gives it to anyone he wants, and he sets the lowest of men over it. Now I want to remind you, this is the purpose. Here it is. He says, this is so the living will know that the Most High is ruler. That God is the ruler. God is in charge. No matter how big a person can get with their authority, position, or what their rule is here on earth. So he has this dream, and it says, this is the dream that King Nebuchadnezzar had. Now Belshazzar, which is Daniel, that's the name he was given. Now that also is a king, that is the name of a god that Nebuchadnezzar worshipped, but that's what he was called. Tell me the interpretation, because none of the wise men of my kingdom can make the interpretation known to me. But you can, because you have the spirit of the holy gods. Now, no, there's only one God, right? But he says, you have the spirits of the holy gods. I don't think Daniel at this moment was really trying to say, here, let me just straighten out your theology here and your doctrine here. Sometimes when you're talking to someone and they're new, or they don't know a whole lot about biblical things, you don't need to correct them every time. If you start correcting them every time, they're just going to get frustrated. Okay? Let the Holy Spirit do its work. Okay? Let the Holy Spirit do its work. So here he comes down. So Daniel answered, my Lord, may the dream apply to those who hate you. So what it is, he's going to give the interpretation. And this interpretation is not going to be a good interpretation. So it doesn't tell us that these sorcerer people didn't know or anything like that. Probably didn't know. But if they did know, I'm just saying this, they're not going to tell King Nebuchadnezzar because it's bad news. Nobody gives the king bad news, because the one who gets bad news is usually in the front of the blunt, because King Nebuchadnezzar had a temper. But Daniel never pulled back. He was wise on how he did it, because Scripture says he was a wise man. He's going to give the interpretation. He said, "The tree you saw, which grew large and strong, whose top reached to the sky, was visible to all the earth, whose leaves were beautiful and its fruit abundant. And on it was the food for all. Under it the wild animals lived, and its branches the birds of the air lived." The tree is you. The tree is you, the king. So Daniel basically said, it's you. You're the tree. "For you have become great and strong. Your greatness has grown and even reaches the sky, and your dominion extends to the ends of the earth." And the king saw an observer, a holy one, coming down from heaven, saying, "Cut down the tree, destroy it, but leave the stump and its roots to the ground, with a hand of iron and bronze around it, and the tender grass of the field. Let him be drenched with dew from the sky and share food with the wild animals for 7 periods of time." Daniel is explaining back what King Nebuchadnezzar dreamed. And he says, this is the interpretation, Your Majesty, and this is the sentence of the Most High that has been passed against my lord, the king. You have been driven away from the people to live with the wild animals. You will feed on grass like cattle and be drenched with dew from the sky for 7 periods of time, until you acknowledge that the Most High is ruler over the kingdom of men, and he has given it to anyone he wants. As for the command to leave the tree stump and its roots, your kingdom will be restored to you as soon as you acknowledge that heaven rules. As soon as you acknowledge that God rules, you'll get it back. You are going to learn this lesson one way or another. Let me tell you, if you're a believer in Christ and you want to do things not the way God wants, you will learn one way or another. You will learn that God is in charge. I hope you know that tonight, that God is in charge. Now, if you are not a believer, you're just kind of figuring out what you want to believe here and there, I want to remind you tonight, regardless of what you believe, God is in charge. God is in charge. So he tells him, as soon as you acknowledge that heaven rules, you'll be restored. But then he goes on, therefore, Daniel's going to throw in something. "May my advice seem good to you, my king. Separate yourself from your sins." You do not hear that too often in the Old Testament, talking to a pagan leader, a pagan king. He didn't worship God. He talked about God, but he didn't worship God. He talked about what God did. He was moved by what could be done. Who is doing what today? But let me remind you, if you go back, you'll find out that King Nebuchadnezzar was in that position because God's people were out of line with God. And God used this king and his empire to take over the people and to teach God's people a lesson to bring them back to repentance for 70 years. But King Nebuchadnezzar thought, wow, let's see what he says. So there was a moment. Well, let me say this. He says, "You separate yourself from your sins by doing what is right, and from your injustice by showing mercy to the needy." He even says you have injustice things that you've done. "Perhaps there will be an extension of your prosperity." So what I see here is a time of God's opportunity, given an opportunity for someone to change their heart. A time of repentance. God is patient. God is patient with you. He loves you where you are. He'll continue to move you, wants you to move into the direction that he has set for you, because he knows when you're in his lane, you're at your best. When you're in his lane, you're at your best with him. Your relationship is at its best. And he wants you there. He has you there in that lane for purposes. But when you get out, he's going to discipline. But this man is going to find out the hard way that God is in control. You see, he was a king. No one told Nebuchadnezzar no. No one told him. He ruled all the lands. But I want to remind you that there is a king over all kings. He said it in the prior chapter. He is, your God is the King of Kings. But he didn't acknowledge it. In his heart, we're going to see what happens. So in verse 28, all this happened to King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, as he was walking on the roof of the royal palace in Babylon, the king explained, "Is this not so?" What we have, the king is walking down this palace. You ever walk in your backyard and go, "Man, I like my house. I like my backyard. I like where I live." Maybe you do, maybe you don't. You ever walk out and you've got a new car, you signed for it, you're excited, you got a new car, you got a new house, you go, "Man, I like my car, I like my house." There's nothing wrong with that. But when you say, "Wow, look what I am awesome. I am the definition of awesome." And he says, "Wow, is this not Babylon the Great?" He's talking to himself. But remember, I want to remind you of something. When you talk out loud, you're never talking by yourself. God is always there. Let's see. He said, "Is this not Babylon the Great that I have built with my vast power to be a royal residence and to display my majestic glory?" Listen, none of us need glory. God gets glory. And at that moment, it says, while the words were still on the king's mouth, sometimes God is patient and waits. But sometimes God acts right now. While the words were still on the king's mouth, a voice came from heaven. "Ah, he is not alone." And let me tell you, if you heard the Lord's voice, you would shrink. I don't care how tough you are. I don't know how much you say you got this, you got that. Even if you're an awesome believer, you're still going to fall. You can't help it. But he says, "King Nebuchadnezzar," this voice, God speaks. He says, "King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is declared that the kingdom has departed from you." Let me tell you, if something that God says is going to happen, it's going to happen. "You will be driven away from the people to live with the wild animals, and you will be fed, you will feed on grass like cattle for 7 periods of time." You know this, we keep hearing 7 periods of time? If God says it, it's going to happen. If it's blue, it's blue. If it's 7 periods, it's 7 periods. He says, "Until you acknowledge that the Most High is ruler over the kingdom of men, and he gives it to anyone he wants." What he's saying, you need to learn that you have what you have because I allow you to have what you have. Now, God can talk like that because that is God, and God has the authority, and God gives us what we have. Everything that you have that is good comes from God. What you have that is bad does not come from God. It comes from yourself. At that moment, the sentence against Nebuchadnezzar was executed. He was driven away from the people and he ate grass like cattle, and his body was drenched with dew from the sky until his hair grew like eagle's feathers and his nails were like bird claws. Basically, he didn't take care. There's no hygiene going on here. He had long fingernails, hair all over the place. It never got combed. He was a wild man. He used to have purple capes and gold crowns and laying in the biggest bed, the best bed, eating the best food, getting everything that he wants. Now he's living out there in the land. Let me just tell you, there's a lot of Christians that God has blessed, and they walked away from God, and they fell into the thing that they wanted to fall into. They followed into another world, and then what they did, now God sometimes allows all that stuff to happen. Sometimes God allows things to happen. Sometimes he lets things and he pushes things to happen in our life to get our attention. Accidents happen. But I'll remind you, everything is not an accident. People get sick, but not every time people get sick is just because of what. Sometimes God allows things to happen to people to get their attention because we will not listen to what God has to say and what he's trying to tell us. If we are going to be hard-headed, God will hang in there long enough because he's patient. He loves you enough not to let you go. He's going to work with you, but you're going to get some hard stuff. Wonder why sometimes you work and the money just keeps going through your pocket and you're like, "I'm trying to do what I'm doing, but you got this other stuff you're doing in your life. You're not listening to God and your money never lasts." But you make good enough money, but it never lasts. You got holes in your pocket. But other times, you are serving God, and you figure you're not making enough, but somehow your bills are paid, and you still got something left. When you're walking in His lane, He takes care of you. He blesses you. When you're walking off the lane, listen, He still loves you. But He's going to work with you, and He's going to work on you, and you're going to get those hands. They're going to be tough. And Nebuchadnezzar now is running around like a wild man. Why? Until he gives God glory, until he acknowledges that God is God and God is king over all kings, not just by his words, but by his mind and his heart. Some of us have got to get to the place where we believe that God is not just God on our lips or in the book, but he's God in our hearts and in our minds and in our life. What's it going to take? What's God got to do to grab your attention? For Nebuchadnezzar, it was 7 periods of time. I believe it was 7 years. That's a hard-headed man. He's hard-headed, stubborn. But some of us are just as stubborn. If God's called you to something and you've been stubborn for year after year, or you just say, I don't like being this, I don't want this, I don't want to be a Sunday school teacher. I don't want to be a pastor. I don't want to be a pastor's wife. I don't want to be a deacon. Listen, I'm telling you, if God put it in your lane, you better be in that lane. Because He created you. He designed you for a purpose. For you to acknowledge that Jesus Christ came to be redeemed and be put in the family of God, that God can now use you for His glory. That the world may see that God is real and that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. So Nebuchadnezzar's running around, laying on the fields, and the dew is in the morning. He's all wet. His hair's all wet. By the afternoon, it's all dirty. It never gets clean. He's got claws. He's like a wild man. Nobody's out there giving him anything. He's eating grass. You know what they used to do with wild people back then? People that were crazy and all that? They just didn't do what a lot of us do. We just get away from them. And you're thinking, how can a man be restored? Let's see. But at the end of those days, I want to remind you, God is patient. There was a man that I knew when I was growing up in a church in Fort Wayne. And he had told me later in life, he said this, that God called me to preach 40 years ago. 40 years ago, God called me to preach, but my wife said no. And we came to this point, and I let her win. And then what happened is, later on, I let her win, and then she ended up divorcing me anyway. I want to tell you, I lived a miserable life because I didn't follow what God called me to do. If God calls you to preach, you don't do anything else. You preach. Now, there are bivocational pastors, those things right there, but you don't change your calling, is what I'm saying. If God called you to work in a church and to be a teacher, you teach. You need to do what God's called you to. Some things in chapters of your life, God does change titles and positions. But when it comes to preaching, it is a life calling. God puts a stamp on it, and that's what you do. When you have opportunities. And then sometimes you preach in different ways, though, when your roles change. But there's always that fire. It's always that fire that's going to be stoked. Because even pastors change in things. There's executive pastors, there's other pastors, all those things. But at the end of those days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, looked up to heaven. And my sanity was returned to me. Listen, he looked up to heaven. He acknowledged that God is God. He says, then I praised the Most High and honored and glorified Him. Who lives forever? And this is what he says. For His dominion is an everlasting dominion, and His kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of earth are counted as nothing. And He does what He wants with the army of heaven and the inhabitants of earth. There is no one who can hold back His hand or say to Him, what have you done? How can he say this? Because he is experiencing, he's sharing his testimony on what God has done to him. He may have looked good, he may have had everything, but he was a wrecked individual. Filled with darkness, seeking gods and idols and worship, even wanted to worship, have everybody worship him. But doesn't that tell you about the love of God? What did it say at the very beginning? King Nebuchadnezzar, to those of every nation and language who live in the earth, may your prosperity increase. I am pleased to tell you about the miracles and wonders of the Most High God, what he has done for me. And then we hear the story, and then he begins to praise him again. That's how you know when someone believes. They can't help but to praise God in the beginning. Let me tell you what he's done for me. And you're always going to talk about how bad you were, but how good he was. And then you're going to praise him again. And then he comes down. At that time, he says, my sanity returned to me, because God keeps his promises. What did he say? When you acknowledge me, I will bring you back. I will restore you. But so his sanity comes back to him. And my majesty and splendor returned to me for the glory of my kingdom. My adversary, my advisors and my nobles sought me out. Now they begin to go after him. Now who can do that? Most likely what would happen in this time, that king would be done and would never be never come back. Or that somebody would kill him. Most likely someone would kill him and someone else would rise up. But God's hand was on this. God made a promise. If you acknowledge me, I'm going to restore you back to your kingdom. So God kept all that stuff away. So now the advisors and the nobles, they seek him out. He says, I was reestablished over my kingdom. I got my kingdom back, but what's it say? And even more greatness came to me. Why? Because when you let God be God in your life, I always believe God is going to bless you. Now, here's the crazy part. God's people, the Jews, are still in captivity. God's blessing a pagan. Let's go back. The Jews were told, you don't get together, you don't get it together, you're going to go into captivity for 70 years. And that's what you did. They didn't want to listen. So they're also in a promise of God. 70 years of captivity. Okay? Doesn't mean people were blessed in there. Daniel was blessed. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was blessed. There were others that are blessed. You'll read a guy named Nehemiah later on. There's a whole bunch of people were blessed. Because no matter how bad the situation is, God still has got his finger on people. Still always got a remnant. But here's the thing. If Nebuchadnezzar never came and did this, I don't believe he would be where he is right here, testifying about God. But he says, I was reestablished over my kingdom, and even more greatness came to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, here he says, now I, writer, I, Nebuchadnezzar, here he goes, praise, exalt, glorify the King of heaven. That's the proof that his heart had changed. He said, I praise, I exalt, and glorify the King of heaven because all his works are true and his ways are just. Here he goes. He is able to humble those who walk in pride. He's calling himself out once again, putting himself down, putting God up, keeping himself at the spot where man needs to be, putting God up. He's able to humble those who are prideful. Haven't we got a little prideful? My plan's going to work. I got enough money, or I got a plan. This guy's the best one for me. I'm going to work. We got a plan. This is great. I've done this thing. I'm just going to do my thing. If this girl's good, she's going to do it. Let me just tell you, your plans, if you don't allow God to be a part of your plans are going to squish. They're not going to work. So what do we get out of all this? Sometimes God is working with lost people that we don't even know. You need to remember that God's not just working with Christians. He's working in lost people's lives to get them to come to understanding that God is real. Amen? That Jesus Christ did come and do all that the Scripture said that He did. But that man can be restored, that lost people can be restored if they come through Christ. This was before Christ. So it wasn't talking about salvation through this one. It was talking about acknowledging God. We don't understand this realm. This realm, this time and space, this time right here, this time on the timeline was people were worshiping wood, straw, rocks. They made gods in everywhere. They just cut them, they just whittled up a stick man and say, yep, let's worship that. And they worship items. But through time, idol worship, I mean, it's still in the world, but not near as much. But now there's an invisible idol that we worship. It's me. I'm important. I worship myself. Don't say it, but my actions show it. Everything I do. Listen, you know what's annoying for me? I have to be very careful because I get tired of people and all they do is want to talk about themselves. All they want to do is talk. I mean, I love listening to people. I love listening to people's stories. But when you're with somebody for 2 hours and you're just talking about themselves, and when you throw something in, I've watched it with other people. People, you know, they just want to share something, and basically what happens? They cut them off and they talk about themselves. That's what King Nebuchadnezzar did. Everything was about him. But when he came to understanding that God is God, he began to talk about God. He began to praise. What did it say? He began to praise and exalt and glorify the King of Heaven. He wouldn't shut up about Jesus and then about God. And then what we find out then we move into chapter 5 and we go, oh, there's a new king and he is foolish and ignorant. And he wants to party with the things that God had in his temple. And it is a horrible ending. And he dies the night of his party because he thinks he can do what he wants to do. And God doesn't waste much time with him. And his life is called in to play that night. And God allows him to die that night. But we don't hear anything else about Nebuchadnezzar. But do we need to hear any more about him? When you end his life with that he praised and exalted and glorified God, the King of Heaven, there's nothing else really to say except he came to this part that he acknowledged and came to the place. He said, yes, I've come to the place. I understand now that God is real and I am just a man. And God is higher than me. It doesn't say it, but I believe that that statue, that 90-foot statue, is gone. So what do we do with it ourselves today? Well, put yourself in Nebuchadnezzar's position. God's telling you that he is God, and you're not. Maybe we're not acknowledging that he's real. Life is not going to go as you expect it to go. I've not met a lost person that where they're saying my life is going exactly the way I want it to. I've never met a lost person who is saying I'm living everything that I wanted to and I'm happy. I'm happy. I'm not talking about that outside happy. I'm talking about this inside happy. There's not, because there's a void. Because here's what I've known with people who have a lot of money. If somebody has $3,000 in their savings account, they want $300 and $500. They want $3,500. If you got 500,000, people that have 500,000 want 700. There's 700,000, they want to be a millionaire. People that are millionaire want to be 20 million. And people that have $20 million, they want to be a billionaire. And people that are billionaire, I want to be the first trillionaire. We never have enough when we live in the flesh. But when we live in God's path and his lane, we are always fully supplied. And when we're not, we will get on our knees and we will pray and he will show up and he will bless and we will turn around and we will praise and we will lift his name up and we will exalt his name and we will praise and give glory to God wherever we can. And you have that opportunity every Wednesday night. If you are not where you need to be, and you feel like, man, I feel like I am Nebuchadnezzar, and you can be a female feeling the same way. If you feel like that you have you're like Nebuchadnezzar, and you've not truly acknowledged it, you've acknowledged it out of your mouth like he did in the prior chapters, man, your God is the King of Kings. Oh, your God is God, but never acknowledged it in your heart. You need to come to that realization that God set forth Jesus Christ to give you that opportunity now to come to God. And you can only come to God now through Jesus Christ, because Christ died on the cross to forgive us of our sins and to redeem us as we are now lost. Back then, we had to go to God. Now we still need to go to God, but we can't unless we go through Jesus Christ first. But there's still a lot of Nebuchadnezzars running around. I bet you I can make one statement that I believe would be true. I can't prove it, but I think I'm right on. And I'm going to close with this. Whether the person went to heaven or the person is in hell, if anyone would come back, they would say, get right with Jesus. Get right with Jesus. For those that are in heaven would say, you need to come where I'm at. It's awesome. If those in hell would say, you get right with Jesus, you don't want to come here. You don't want to come here. Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for the story of Nebuchadnezzar, a pagan god who became a believer. But Lord, what it took for him to become a believer. Whoa. Living like an animal. Father, sometimes we live like that. Father, tonight there are people here that are believers, that are children of God. There are others that are seeking, trying to figure out who you are. I pray, Father, tonight that you would have your way. And that someone here tonight, or more than one, would acknowledge that you are God. And lift their hearts up to you. And call upon you tonight. And we ask it in the saving powerful name of Jesus. Amen.